Hi, I'm Sarah Maddock, here with my partner Todd Waller.
Hello.
Part of the Studio 48 team here at Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. And we are trying out this new podcast format and wanted to just share information with you in a more conversational way. It allows us to be a little bit more in depth on some topics that might be helpful to you all.
And if you're watching this on video, I apologize that we're calling it a podcast, but yes, we are going to like utilize the audio here. So yeah, you know what? If you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh my gosh, what the heck do they look like and what are they referencing? Just go over to the YouTube channel and check it out. That's the best I can tell you at this point in time.
That's right. We might have an opportunity then to pop some other information up on the screen. But for now, we just wanted to be able to chat with you a little bit as we would if we were at your dining room table talking about real estate.
Pretty much. I like that. Yeah. And so today's topic.
Yeah. I love this topic.
Yeah.
I love the topic of how to avoid home sale pitfalls. Mm. I don't love the pitfalls.
Right. Understood. The fall through is no fun.
That's right. And in real estate, when you have a major snafu that, you know, ends your contract, we call it a fall through. And it's the F word of real estate.
Pretty much.
So, but we want to talk to you a little bit about how do we as experienced realtors avoid home sale pitfalls. One of the things that we've seen over the last couple of years is as the market was really hot and real estate was a really sexy, exciting, fast-paced, lucrative career, I would say that sort of laughing.
Yeah, there's a joke there.
There's a joke there. But we've seen a lot of new agents come onto the scene in a really, really strange real estate market. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've never seen a market like this one, and it's been good, I would say, for home sellers, especially good. But we do expect, and we are already moving into a more normalized market, which I think is good for everybody, buyers in particular. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see more fall-throughs, more things crop up during the course of a real estate transaction that experienced agents have already lived through. We know how to handle that. We kind of know how to head it off the pass often. And so I expect we're going to need this topic to be discussed a lot.
And we are. And so just to give you some context, Sarah and I have seen some things in our real estate careers. We've been in this business 18, 19, 20 years.
20 years for me. Mm-hmm.
20 years apiece in this business. Yeah. And so we, if you can track that, that puts us as agents before the crash, the Great Recession. Mm-hmm. We clearly made it through there. And then here we are now coming out of pandemic and all that has entailed in the real estate market.
Right.
And to Sarah's point, we have seen some things in the last 3 years that in 20 years we've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And we are also reverting, I would argue, back to a mean that many agents that have just gotten into the market in the last 4 or 5 years have never experienced.
Yeah.
And that's where this topic of getting your home ready and avoiding the fall through is going to be key, we think, in the next 12 to 24 months, real easily, mm-hmm. if not longer. Mm-hmm. And it really is setting you up as a consumer for your best outcome.
That's right.
Not just haphazardly wandering into a contract and saying, oh, I hope, golly gee, that it goes through. Literally, we're here to point out the speed bumps to you as a seller, as a mm-hmm. buyer in the contract that says, this is where you may end up with an issue. And you know what? Setting the table before we even get to the contract is the way to go.
Absolutely.
So Sarah, we were talking mm-hmm. about this before we started shooting.
Right.
So when it comes to the seller, for example, mm-hmm. and they're getting ready to bring their home to the market, mm-hmm. we usually go in and we do a consult, yeah?
Absolutely.
And what does that entail typically?
So we're going to come through. Of course, we're going to talk to you about marketing and pricing strategy mm-hmm. and all that. That's important. But I always see it as a major part of that initial consult to walk through the house as if I'm putting my buyer hat on. If I'm a buyer's agent walking through this home, what are the things that I'm going to point out to a buyer that, I'm a little concerned about that, or this crack in the basement wall, or asking questions of the seller about maintenance that they've done, about repairs that they've done, or things that maybe they need to take a look at. Because what we're trying to do in that appointment is to walk away giving the seller a list of things to say, look, I really think you should do X, Y, and Z. That might be, okay, you've got an older furnace, it's working. Let's just get an HVAC technician out.
Right.
It's like $150. Have them do a good cleaning, servicing, make sure, you know, all the little components are in good working condition so that when we go further on down the line, yep, and we're under contract and the buyer has an inspection, they don't open up the furnace and go,
what?
Oh my gosh, no one's looked at this in 20 years. And that kind of simple thing we want to be able to do before we even go to contract.
Absolutely. And in fact, an example that I can pull out of the years of doing this, I had a client that was exactly this particular scenario. It was an older home. It needed some work in some key areas. And the question from the sellers to me is, what should we do to get this home prepared? And I said, well, X, Y, and Z need to be squared away. But this one particular item, the roof was older. Right? And it was, you know, probably 15 years into its 20-year life or something along those lines. And I said, let's take care of all the other items that we know about, that we can see, that an inspector would clearly throw a flag on, but let's leave the roof. And what I would like you to do is get an estimate for a replacement of that roof and just put that in your back pocket.
Right, right.
So we got all that stuff squared away. We bring it to the market. We had a flurry of activity. We go under contract. And wouldn't you know, the one thing that came out of inspection?
The roof.
Yeah. And because my clients had done their homework up front and they knew what an estimate for getting their roof repaired, fully replaced, was going to be, when the buyer came through with a quarter of that number, my clients were like, yeah, we'll sign right here. We're good to go. Right.
Because they'd already done their homework. They knew what the alternatives were. They knew what they were going to have to do. Exactly. I think that's so important. And a lot of times the issues that come up on an inspection that will end a contract are things that the seller didn't even know.
Correct.
You know, mold in the attic is a big one. Yep. That happens a lot. They go up, the inspector goes up in the attic. I mean, in most of the houses in our area do not have the kind of attic that, you know, is finished that you're storing Christmas ornaments in there. You know, it's just basically where we keep the insulation, right? And so nobody's ever been up there. Why would the seller even spend any time up there? But just by doing a couple of these things ahead of time and trying to inexpensively work out the problems before they become deal breakers, we can head off that fall through that pitfall right out of the gate.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, it helps set expectations for the seller, at least at that point in time. But like, hey, these are things that can be deal killers. Mm-hmm. And we have the ability to address them up front, or at least be prepared that it's going to be an issue.
Or even just to disclose it.
Correct.
Right? You've had a situation where we've had houses where the seller really didn't have the time, money, or energy to do any of those repairs. And that was okay. But at least we knew in advance and we could forewarn the buyer and say, look, we have priced the house accordingly, knowing that it needs a new roof, or knowing that, you know, there are these three big issues, and we are disclosing it to the buyer so that they understand what they're walking into. And then they're happy. They know what they're getting into. They know they're paying the right price for that property. So again, it doesn't mean that you have to do all of these things. It's just that we, as professional agents, we know what is going to cause a problem down the line. And that's what we want to avoid. We all want to avoid, you know, of the F word.
Because at the end of the day, right, we have a fiduciary responsibility to our client, buyer or seller.
Right.
And when we're working for sellers, we want to make sure that everything happens the way it should happen, that we're accomplishing your goals. Mm-hmm. So as professional agents, we want to make sure that the expectations are set up front correctly and that our goals are aligned so that we're aiming in the same direction as our clients along those ends.
So let's jump ahead there and go, okay, we're under contract. What is the next biggest thing that can happen that can create a fall through? And I would say it's the inspection. Actually.
Usually it's the inspection. I would agree. So you get through the inspection as a buyer or a seller, like their first contingency right out of the gate typically is that inspection.
Right. Usually 7 to 10 days, I think, is the, you know, the normal time frame from when you sign the contract with the buyer.
Correct.
Through that inspection period.
Exactly.
That first week, basically.
And so the buyer brings out a third party, an inspector that they pay for, to inspect the house from top to bottom. At the end of the inspection, they're given a report that says, hey, I found these items. Now, let's be very clear. That inspection is above and beyond, quote, what the everyman can observe with their own eyes.
Right.
Look,
right.
I'm a real estate agent. I'm not a mechanical engineer. I'm not an electrical engineer. I'm not a plumber. I'm not an electrician.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some things. So I can point things out, except I'm neither one of those.
Did you stay at Holiday Inn once?
I did stay at Holiday Inn Express, actually.
Oh, sorry.
But it's the everyman. So as you go through a home as a buyer, what are the things that you can see? You can see blown seals on windows, for example. You can see the floor is buckling where maybe there was some water damage. Mm-hmm. What you probably don't know is that there's a cracked heat exchanger. You're not going to know that until you open up the furnace and stare at it. That's why you bring in, as a purchaser, you bring in an inspector to eyeball those things.
Right.
So the inspector does their thing. They issue the report. The buyer says, oh my goodness, these are some issues that I could not have had the ability to know without an inspector. Hey, seller, these are things that that I would like to address.
Right.
As agents working with the seller, you know what? We're trying to prep the seller up front. You're going to have some items. There are going to be some items that you're not aware of. That's why we go through up front on the initial consultation and say, hey, I would address this. I would take care of these things. Mm-hmm. Clearly, the everyman, which we kind of are, we're not going to have that intimate knowledge of a furnace to say that's a cracked heat exchanger.
Yeah. I mean, I would say as far as avoiding a fall through after an inspection,
right.
The upfront work that we just discussed, that's going to be key. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is, you know, a lot of it will depend on the experience for the buyer's agent. What, you know, what, how experienced are they in preparing their buyer? Because mm-hmm. I would say every buyer expects for things to come up on the inspection. They're right. A little bit prepared for that. In, you know, just in advance, I just know that's why I'm doing it to begin with, because right. I expect that there are going to be things that come up on that.
Yep.
And so some of it depends on the buyer's personality and experiences. Some of it is going to depend on their agent's personality and experiences. Mm-hmm. But what we've found is that with experienced agents on both sides and the right expectations set and mm-hmm. the right sort of preparation set, we can negotiate through
yes.
most inspection items. If there's something that really drastic that happens that really nobody understood, maybe we can't, or maybe we can, and we just, I mean, there's all kinds of things yeah. that's going to be an individual thing. But I would say the majority of inspection issues that come up, mm-hmm. we are able to negotiate our mm-hmm. way through and thereby get to the closing table. Mm-hmm. Right? Would you agree?
Absolutely.
It's actually, I mean, I don't want to say it's rare that a contract falls through on inspection, but what's your guess? I would say maybe 1 in 10. I mean, yeah, it's
maybe 1 in 10,
depending on the house.
Yeah, but to your point, Sarah, like mm-hmm. the personalities involved play a huge part.
Agreed.
And so when you've got, when you've got professionals on either side of the transaction as mm-hmm. agents, mm-hmm. That fall through rate becomes lower.
Mm-hmm.
But clients are clients.
That's
and
right.
We don't control clients. We exactly. just advise.
Right.
And so there may be someone who point blank is like, nope, I'm just not dealing with a home right. that has any history of mold in it.
Right.
Okay, there's nothing that we can walk through and mitigate that
that's
on
right.
their behalf.
Yeah.
So.
And then, you know, when that happens, there are steps that we would take
yep.
as a seller's agent. But I would say for the most part, we can try to head them off at the pass
yep.
with good disclosure, with good preparedness.
Right.
And then most of the time we're going to be able to negotiate through through those absolutely. Those objections, right?
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. So then there's the other major like contingency or speed bump, roadblock, whatever you want to call it, on your way from bottom lining that purchase agreement to getting to the closing table.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the lender, basically.
It's financing.
Financing.
Right? Financing. Now, the easiest way to avoid that pitfall is to get a cash buyer, right? If you've got a buyer who's got all cash and there's no bank involved,
woo-hoo!
Then you're good to go, right? As soon as the inspection items are cleared, you're pretty much going to roll through to closing. But,
right.
you know, that is more common than you might expect. But let's assume, like most transactions, the buyer is going to have financing.
Right.
And their bank is going to put into place certain steps that need to occur, right? So the first would be their appraisal, mm-hmm. right? So that would be the first thing. And one of the things that we do to avoid a pitfall with the appraisal process is that we as experienced agents are going to put together what we call an appraisal package.
Right.
I say we do about the same thing for that. We might even meet the appraiser
yep.
there and just try to make sure that they understand what the value of the house is, maybe the comparable homes
yeah.
that have sold in the neighborhood, if we have some insight into their condition or situation.
Yep.
Appraisers usually like to see that.
Absolutely.
So hopefully we can avoid that pitfall. But, you know, even before we get to that point, Todd, I mean, what do you do to try to prevent that? I mean, when you are presented with an offer,
correct.
You have the buyer's pre-approval letter.
Yep.
What do you do? What steps do you take?
So I'm looking at that pre-approval letter. Have I worked with this lender before? Have I worked with this lender's company before? What's my experience with that specific mortgage broker or bank?
Mm-hmm.
And now, once I've got that pre-approval in front of me, I'm making the phone call specifically to the loan officer.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk with that loan officer and see what kind of information they're willing and able to give me about their purchaser.
Mm-hmm.
There are things they are not supposed to tell me.
Right.
Doesn't mean I can't ask the question. And usually the good loan officers will chuckle and say, you know, I can't answer that, right? Doggone it. Well, I had to try. But at the end of the day, I want to know, does this loan officer know their stuff?
Mm-hmm.
For example, if the pre-approval letter I've got in front of me is for a VA loan, I'm going to ask a very
mm-hmm.
specific question that a loan officer can answer for me. And that is, do you have the certificate of eligibility?
Right.
If they don't have the COE in their hand, that is not a pre-approval letter.
Right.
And you can't convince me otherwise.
Yeah. And you don't want to sign a contract for a buyer who maybe they have a pre-approval letter, right. but and when we call and you find out something as simple right. as that, that the lender doesn't know what they're doing,
right.
that they haven't taken the steps to actually pre-approve their, let's not even get under contract right. because we're just setting ourselves up for failure.
Absolutely.
Right.
What's the line, opportunity favors the prepared mind.
So
we're just doing all of our due diligence up front so right. that we can actually get to the closing mm-hmm. table. So if that pre-approval interview, if that interview with the lender goes sideways, or I don't get a good, not just feeling, but understanding that they know what they're doing, mm-hmm. my advice to my seller at that point is going to be, well, yeah, they're pre-approved, but I mm-hmm. don't know that the pre-approval is worth the paper that it's written on.
Right.
So maybe we need to go back to the buyer and say, why don't you consider going somewhere
right.
else?
Right, work with someone, or show us a pre-approval letter from a lender that we trust.
Yes.
Because, you know, I know you feel this way. I think that sometimes, especially in the case of multiple offer situation, your best price, the buyer who wrote the best offer, mm-hmm. if their loan terms are not favorable,
yeah.
it kind of doesn't matter. If we don't get to the closing table, whether you're going to get another $2,000 or $3,000 in sale price, but you're taking a huge risk on you actually getting there. That's
right.
I have advised sellers, mm-hmm. listen, let's go with the buyer who has 30% down, conventional mortgage, you know, with a lender that we know and love and trust,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to getting a couple grand more, but going with the buyer who has, you know, 3.5% down and just started their job and things are a little shaky and I called their lender and they didn't even know who I was talking about. I mean, this is a way
too.
To avoid a pitfall. You right. want to have a good, solid
yep.
buyer, because if they're getting a mortgage, we can't control that.
Yep.
And frankly, it's almost worse, I would say, don't you think, when it falls through because of the buyer's financing
yeah.
versus the inspection. I think sellers kind yeah. of think like they're so scared of what's going to come up on the inspection
correct.
That they're worried about that.
Yep, yep.
But really, if it falls through because of the mortgage, you've wasted possibly 30 days. I mean, you could have been on the market a whole month longer than you expected to be, and that's really devastating. That's
yep.
really difficult.
And I would argue kind of borderline embarrassing if you got to
yeah.
that point. You feel bad for the purchasers, of course, at that point in time, because clearly great information has not been put at their fingertips.
Yeah.
And you feel really bad for the sellers because, as to Sarah's point, you've removed that property from the open market for
right.
upwards of 30 days waiting for that appraisal to come back or the underwriter for the loan
right.
To do their thing and say, no, we're not going through with this.
Yeah.
So one thing that you asked Sarah, was like, what do you do to prepare for that appraisal
mm-hmm.
on the selling side in particular?
Yes.
One of the things that I think you and I are in agreement on is, as listing agents working with sellers, one of the things that we do, I think, very well to set our sellers up for success is upfront pricing.
That's right. Yeah.
I think that's key.
Yeah.
And I don't care what the marketplace is. If it's a buyer's market, a neutral market, or a seller's market, I think that list price up front
yeah.
sets up success on the appraisal side when we do our work.
I agree.
So as pros that have been around the block a few times and seen some things, I think it's incumbent upon us to come to our sellers and say, here's where the market is. And we back it up with comparable sales in the recent
mm-hmm.
like 6 months or so,
mm-hmm.
so that when that appraiser comes through and we hand them an appraiser's package, it shows our work literally with how we came to the list price.
Right.
Maybe the market's shifted a little bit since that point in time, and we've had to update that appraiser's package to match other sales that have happened since we came to market.
Mm-hmm.
So I would argue one of the bigger things that we can do up front is just correct pricing to help
yeah,
out on that appraisal
absolutely.
Side.
Absolutely. I think that is a really valid point. I mean, that's one of those things that we do even
yeah.
before we list the property.
Exactly.
To avoid those pitfalls. So.
Absolutely. So, are there other things in regards to getting to the closing table that could be a pitfall, that could lead to a fall through? One thing that I don't
yeah.
know that we hit on much at all is underwriting guidelines. So if
yeah.
you've got that financed purchase, yes, one of the large components of that is the appraisal, the bank's opinion of value on
mm-hmm.
the property. There's this black box called underwriting that not so much recently, but in the between times, between the recession and our pandemic timeline, underwriters kind of got a little bit squirrely. They've got some great guidelines. So when people are getting financed, we've got some of the best mortgages out there, some of the
mm-hmm.
highest quality mortgages right now, simply because of underwriting guidelines, which is
mm-hmm.
great. But every now and again, an
yeah.
underwriter gets just something stuck in their craw
yeah,
and
yeah.
they need to get, where did this 25
it's often,
cents
I think
come
it's
from?
Often around, I think it often... these things that are unpredictable
right.
It's around insurance issues sometimes. Yes. I've had some properties where, in particular condos, you know, where an underwriter has looked at, everything's good, the buyer was good to go, their financing was great, their personal finances were great. And then it got to underwriting and they said, oh, we can't insure this because it's an unusual building configuration or it's in the floodplain or something. I would say when that happens, sometimes if we just flip it to another lender, they can work it out. Maybe they'll do a portfolio loan. You know, that's something we can have unusual underwriting issues can happen. Sometimes things just happen.
Yes.
It's rare, but you know, I think I often use as an example, like I had buyers years ago, we were under contract on a property and we were through the inspection, we were chugging right along. I mean, at that point, I don't think they really had a way to get out of the contract without potentially losing their earnest money. But what happened for them was in the span of 1 week, she found out she was pregnant with her first baby. He found out his job was in jeopardy.
Whoa.
And then one of their moms had a really terrible car accident in Ohio. And they thought they might have to take care of her. So like this whole just confluence of events. And they ended up deciding they weren't going to move from Ohio to Michigan at that point. They just, it was too much going on. And you know, so they backed out. It was a follow through.
Right.
Now at that stage, like I said, they didn't really have any outs in their contract. When I explained the situation to the seller, they had mercy. They didn't actually go after the client's earnest money, although they could have. And it helped that they had another buyer kind of waiting in the wings that was like just chomping at the bit waiting. But I mean, stuff like that, how can you, predict.
And that's
you can't
point.
Predict.
When you choose the best agent for you in whatever the circumstance is, the buy, the sell, there are things that pop up that none of us can control. And so, again, having a professional who's been through the ringer a few times, seen some things, but then also communicates extremely well, you are removing barriers to any potential blow-ups when they happen.
Right.
So, again, it goes back to communication. It goes back to just being upfront and straightforward all the way through and communicating all the way around. Yeah. So, I think that covers fall-throughs for the most part,
I think so. And, again, I want to emphasize here that it's not that common. It's not like,
absolutely.
I've had a seller ask me recently, you know, so how likely do you think it's going to be to close?
Right.
And 99% likely. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's unusual, especially when you have experience and we can kind of see red flags before they become bigger issues. But we don't wish this on anybody, but we do want to make sure that you understand there are definitely positive action steps that we can take to make sure that once you are under contract that you are on your way to closing and have a successful, happy transition there.
exactly. Okay. Cool. So we've got like the quick hits for you. If you've made it this long through the video and to the end of the podcast, we've got some quick hits for you on the Washtenaw County Marketplace that you should probably know. Today is the 2nd of January, 2023. Happy New Year,
Happy
by the way.
Happy New Year.
The Fannie Mae 30-year fixed mortgage rate is 5.99%.
Right. We are under 6%.
We're under 6. Let's go.
Not bad.
I like it. In Washtenaw County, there are 717 homes currently for sale, with 696 that are pending, meaning they're working their way towards closing. That's pretty good. You've got 717 active, so something to choose from, but 696, almost the same number, under contract and moving forward. So there is motion there, which is great. That leads us to 1.8 months worth of inventory, meaning for the 717 homes that are currently on the market, if no further homes were added, it would take almost 2 months for those to sell off, given the most recent pace of sales.
Yeah, not a bad market. We're heading into a good 2023, I think.
2023 is going to be fun, I believe. And this is January, so we've got low numbers in the first place all the way around.
It's 60 degrees out today. 60 degrees in Michigan.
60 degrees, and we're going to have snow probably
on January 2nd.
A week?
A little unpredictable there, but.
Very much so. Well, yet again, this is Sarah. I'm Todd. We're with Studio 4-8. We're here to recreate real estate.
Thanks for listening.